Blog Talk Radio.
Do you use an inhaler? Does it sound like this? If it does, then you've probably asked your doctor about ProAir RespiClick albuterol sulfate inhalation powder. And you've probably visited clickinhaler.com to learn more about ProAir RespiClick. Suddenly, it all clicks. With ProAir RespiClick, find out why at clickinhaler.com. And if you haven't already, ask your doctor about ProAir RespiClick today. And click for yourself at clickinhaler.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you so much for joining us again this first Monday night in the month of March. Boy, it seems like that it was just the other day that we were at the beginning of the year. But time travels and we just get on about God's business. Tonight, we want to say hello to all our listeners and thank you for joining us again tonight, and just want to be prayerful for all of those that are out and about in the weather change that we're supposed to get, some rain tonight and everything. So I want those that are traveling to be careful and be encouraged tonight and just listen to what we're going to talk to you about tonight. We also want to give a shout out to Sister Beverly tonight and all our other partners that are listening, and just encourage you to call in and listen and ask questions, and let's just have a good fruitful conversation tonight. Tonight we're going to talk to Minister Randall about the anatomy of faith. She's going to give us some good pointers, some good tips, and get your little pencils and your paper out and take some notes tonight, because we're going to be very informative and it's going to be an interesting topic for those who have little faith. So let's just talk. So go ahead, Minister Randall, and say hello to our listening audience.
Hello, everyone. We appreciate you calling in tonight, and we would like to just take time on behalf of the Lighthouse Network, and I found it over to Dr. Shelton Carter. Thanks, Sister Beverly and Sister Lewis, for the opportunity for us to come and share with you on tonight a topic that's very near and dear to our heart, which is the anatomy of faith, and the subtopic would be the vital principles of faith. We hear the term faith all the time, and this is the area that God has been dealing with me with, even being a veteran in Christ. I don't think we could ever just know enough, and we never get to the point we know so much that we can't learn anything. And we never stop realizing that sometimes the things that we thought we knew very well, that we did not know them as well as we thought that we knew them, and God leads us back to studying things a little bit depth. And that's why we want to talk about the anatomy of faith, the makeup, the body of faith, and also the vital principles of faith, because it's very important that when we receive knowledge, that we know how to effectively apply that knowledge to our life, because it doesn't benefit us anything to know something and then not know how to apply that information to our life. And so we're very grateful for the opportunity for Granny's Place. And as we go through the tax season, we would like to ask you that don't forget about Granny's Place. That God has blessed you to sow a seed, and definitely sow a seed into the ministry. And this ministry is doing a great work in our community. So we definitely want to honor those who are, where honor is due, and sow seeds into those who are doing big and great things for God. So Sister Lewis, again, thank you, and Sister Beverly, for the opportunity tonight.
Thank you.
Faith. I mean, how many times do we hear that on Sundays in every Bible study, and every time you turn around when you're talking to fellow believers? I don't think I can have a conversation with a believer without hearing the word faith. You meet people at the grocery store, and I say, well, how are you doing? They say, well, we're making it by faith. And I'm making my faith, and I'm still holding on by faith. And just faith is always this word that we hear so much. Faith. So I begin to say the word faith,
my
because
word.
When you read the word of God and you understand what faith is according to the word of God, there are certain things in our life we're manifesting based upon whether we really have faith or not. And a lot of us, like myself at one point, we tend to think that our faith is at a greater level than what it is. And we don't realize it until we start to evaluate faith, and we realize that there's always an area in faith that we can apply more attention to build in that area, because you can't have too much faith. There's a song that says, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. It don't take a whole lot, but use the little you got. And we want to talk about that too, using the faith that you got and properly applying faith to your life. So, Sister Lewis, I don't know how many listeners we have on tonight, but I wanted to pose a question. I've asked about 12 people, random believers, people who stayed in church, go to YPWW and BTU and all those types of things, and I asked them to give me the definition of faith. And what do you normally hear when you ask someone the definition of faith?
Myself, I usually hear somebody just believing in something that they cannot see, then taking mm-hmm. God as his word. Basically, those are the two answers that I get. Then, you know, they give me Hebrews 11, so which I don't know if they really know what they're rehearsing, because it's just such a familiar passage. So those are the two things that I get. And we don't have, it's just me and you right now, so we're going to wait for some more callers, okay?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, but normally when people talk about faith, when I ask them to define faith, and let's say it was someone who didn't know Christ, who'd never been to church, and you're telling them about faith, and I've asked believers to define what faith is, and every time I ask them to define faith, they always say faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And that's
right.
A scripture, but it's not really a definition of faith. So you
right.
were saying that to a believer, then a believer understands that faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. However, if you're talking to a non-believer, someone who doesn't know Christ, someone who hasn't studied the word, and they're asking you, okay, what I want you to have faith, and they're asking you, help me understand, say, what is this faith thing? You said to them, faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. That's going to sound really strange to them. That's going to sound weird to them. They're not going to be able to grasp the concept of faith is a substance of things hoped for, everything's not seen, because technically that's not a that would be a definition. So the first thing we want to start off tonight with is defining what faith is. And the simplest way to put it is faith is the conviction and or persuasion to believe that a statement is true, that something is true. So you're convicted or you're persuaded to believe that something is true. Convicted or persuaded to believe that something is true. That's what faith is. It is your conviction or you're being persuaded to believe that something is true. So if I say that I am healed after the doctor has said it, that I have a disease or a sickness, and God speaks to me and says that you are healed, I'm not saying that faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. I am saying that I am convicted and persuaded to believe that I am healed. Not that I have the hopes of things, evidence of things hoped for, not seen, because we have to begin to speak those things. So it's a conviction and persuasion to believe that a statement is true. And so as believers, we have to start applying that conviction and persuasion to our life about the things that we believe is true. And the second thing I begin to ask, what does faith look like? What's a good example of faith? And I begin to think about the woman with the issue of blood. She was convicted and persuaded to believe that if she could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be made whole. She didn't sit back and say, no, the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, I'm healed. But she said, I believe. So she was convicted or persuaded to believe. She fixed her mind and her heart to believe that when she heard that Jesus was passing through, that if I can just touch the hem of this garment, I'm convicted and persuaded to believe that I'm going to be healed. And so she pressed her way through the crowd. And when she finally got close enough to Jesus, she touched the hem of his garment, because that's where the oil rolls down to the hem. The anointing and the oil is in the hem of the man of God's garment, and Jesus' garment. She touches his hem. And when she touched his hem, he said, who touched me? Her faith was so strong that when she touched Jesus, he felt the virtue leave her body, meaning he felt the sickness leaving her body, not just because he was Jesus, but because she was convicted and persuaded to believe that if she did that, that she would be made whole. And he turned to her and he said, "Woman, thou faith has made you whole." What do you mean, your faith? Your conviction or persuasion to believe that a statement is true, followed by your work, which is her corresponding action. She didn't just sit there and say, "I believe I can touch the hem of his garment and I'll be made whole," and just sit there and never try to get to it then. But she began to put her faith in action, and so she began to press her way toward Jesus with her work. The Bible tells us that faith without work is dead. So her believing or being convicted or persuaded to believe that she could be healed did absolutely nothing for her if she did not get up and press her way through the crowd to touch his garment so that she may be healed. So as believers, not only do we have to understand what faith is, we have to understand that faith has a corresponding action behind it. So a lot of times we're saying that we're waiting on God to do something for in our life. We're waiting for God to show up, and we're waiting on this, and we're waiting on that. The reality is we're not waiting on God at all, because if you have faith, he's waiting on you to get up and do your corresponding action with that faith. And that's the part that we leave out. I got so sad when I sat back and I thought about all the old saints who would say, "I'm going to die believing. I'm going to die believing. I'll die believing. If the Lord don't do it, I know he can." I heard that my entire life. If he don't do it, I know he can. They're leaving a song that says, if the Lord don't do it, nobody can. But believing is not faith. Because James 2:19 tells us that you believe that God is one, basically said, good for you. But even the demons believe. So believing alone is not faith. And faith is not just believing. So you can believe all day, but that's not faith. And faith is not just believing, but faith is the conviction and the persuasion to believe. And because you do believe, we get up and we do something about what we believe. And what we do is called W-O-R-K, work.
Come on. That's it. That's it.
Faith. Without work is dead. Conviction or persuasion to believe without corresponding action does us no good. I was sitting here tonight. I was taking my braids down. And I don't have a hair appointment to get my hair redone. But I know I have to get it done. I know that I have to get it redone. So, yeah, I have belief and faith in conviction and persuasion to believe that there's tons of salons all over the Dallas Metroplex area that can do my hair. There's a hair salon on every corner. I believe it. I don't know everyone, but I believe that there's a hair salon probably on every corner in Dallas. But me believing does not get me an appointment. Just because I say I believe someone will have an opening Tuesday or Wednesday to get me in, just with me believing that, and just even if I'm convicted and persuaded to believe that somebody has an opening when I get off of work Tuesday or Wednesday, that doesn't get me an appointment. I can believe it all day. I can be convicted and persuaded all day. But until I pick up the phone and call and say, "Do you have an opening Tuesday or Wednesday at 6:00 p.m.? I don't have an appointment until I do the work, because the work is not going to come to me. I have to go do the work. There's no miracle ball that's floating in hair salon heaven right now saying, "Minister Randall needs her hair done. Somebody reach out to her." It doesn't work that way. I have to do the work because I am the one that's in the need. Now, so God has already made the way. Okay, yeah, I have the money to go get it done. Yeah, I have the resources to go get it done. And I know several dollars that I can reach out and call. But until I reach out and call somebody and do the work, then what good does it do me to just believe that there's a salon that's going to be open? And the same thing when Jesus says that you are healed, that you are the head and not the tail, when he says he wants to make us a millionaire, when he says he wants us to be above it but not beneath, we have to do the corresponding action. So, God, I believe that you want me to be a millionaire. I believe that I'm healed. I believe that I have a new home. I believe that all is well. I believe that I'm a head and not the tail. I believe that I'm a kingdom finance. I believe I'm a wise investor. I believe that I'm a property owner. I believe all those things. I am convicted and persuaded to believe those things. But until I go make an investment, until I buy a stock, until I buy a bond, I will never be any of those things because I haven't put forward my corresponding actions. And as believers, that's where we get stuck at because we just have faith. And sometimes we don't really have faith. We believe if we think that belief is faith, but it's really not. I believe a lot of things I don't have faith in. I believe that we're going to have a new president this year, but I don't have faith in that president. So belief is not faith. And faith is more than just belief. We have to put forward our corresponding action. And that's the main message I want to get across to the believers is that we keep going in circles. We're just like Moses. We keep skirting this mountain. We're 40 years in the wilderness, and we keep talking about faith. All these scriptures that we know about faith, 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 faith. Now faith is a substance being hoped for and evidence of things not seen. But you let him ask in faith, not wavering, for that he wavers like the sea. There are so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Knowing this, that trying of your faith worketh patience. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Seeking him is the corresponding action to those who believe in him. And he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So seeking him gives you the reward. But if we just say we have faith and we do nothing with that, and we're just sitting down and nothing's moving, nothing's happening, we're just talking about something, pipe dreams, I want to write a book, I want to do this, I want to lose weight, I want to travel. But you never even look and call a travel agent to even book a ticket to go travel anywhere. But we keep saying we want to do all that. And I believe that God can do it. I have faith. But there's nothing moving. And so your faith is dead. And God is wanting to bring our faith alive. Not only does he want us convicted and persuaded to believe, but he wants to see our corresponding actions. And he wants us to get past fear. And he wants us to get past this tradition of things. And he wants us to walk in knowledge because we keep thinking that God is waiting on us, that we're waiting on God, but technically God is waiting on us. And we keep asking the Holy Spirit to do things, and the Holy Spirit is not a doer, it's a helper. There's nowhere in the scripture that tells you the Holy Spirit is a doer, it's a helper. So the Holy Spirit is there to help you while you're doing your corresponding action, your work. It's a helper, it's not a doer. Stop saying we're waiting for the Holy Spirit to do this. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to lead me to a job. The Holy Spirit is waiting for you to go apply for a job so that the Holy Spirit can help you, that he can grant favor for you. But he is not going to go apply for the job for you. He is like, the Holy Spirit is a helper, not a doer. It's a helper, men and women of God. It is a helper. It's a helper, and it's a keeper. But there's nowhere in the scripture that says the Holy Spirit is a doer. The doer is you. The doer is me. God said he gives, the Bible tells us he gives us wisdom to go get wealth. He didn't say that he brings the wealth to us. He said that he bestows the wisdom upon us so that we can go out and get wealth. So I am convicted and persuaded tonight that I have wisdom to go out and make wealth. And my corresponding action is I would seek ways to invest, to increase my money, to raise my revenue, to raise my income, because that is my corresponding action. I am not waiting for God to drop bags of money out of heaven because he said he would give me wisdom to go get wealth. And so what are our corresponding actions? We just sit back and we just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to stay here. I'm just fine. I'm content. When he says, I want you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, you should lend and you should not borrow. But we're sitting back and we're sitting waiting for God. We're not waiting for God, men and women of God. God is waiting on us. And that is our reality. That is our truth. And fact and truth are not one and the same. We're talking about truth tonight. Because faith is a force. Faith moves things. Faith moves mountains. Faith moves God. When we're walking in faith and we're having our corresponding action, it moves God. It makes God want to send the Holy Spirit in to help us get where we're going because we're already moving. So the Holy Spirit paves the way, and God sends his grace, his mercy, and his favor so that we can make it to the destination that God has ordained and predestined us to be so that we can walk and be great men and women of God, great children of God, great sons, great daughters, great servants, great servants. He sent to help the Holy Spirit to help us. But faith is a force. Is your faith moving tonight? What is your faith forcing? Is it forcing doors open? Is it forcing job opportunities? Is it forcing low interest rate on your mortgage? Is it forcing low interest rate on your car loan? What is your faith doing? Is your faith healing your diseases? Is your faith bending your broken heart? What is your faith? It's a force. Faith forces things to line up with the Word of God. It is a force. It is not something that lays dormant. It's not this little piddle-paddle thing that has no power, but faith is a force. It says the woman pressed her way. She used force to get to the crowd and say, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, everyone's looking at me because of my situation. They know about my situation because one scripture says 12 years, the other says 18 long years. But that, whether it was 12 or 18, we all know that was way too long for a woman to be suffering with this condition that she was suffering. We can't even go 5 days with this condition. And this lady was bound with this condition for 12 years or 18 years, and people knew about this. She was an outcast. She was frowned upon. In the Bible days, they pushed him out into hiding because they were considered unclean. But she took a chance. She put probably her life at risk to say, I'm going to press. I'm going to use my faith because my faith is a force. And I don't care how they look at me. I don't care how many people grab their nose. I don't care how many people act like they're going to gag. But I'm going to press my way through this crowd because I am convicted and persuaded to believe that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, all these things I've been going through for the last 12 years, all these things I've been dealing with for the last 18 years, I've been to all the doctors, I've spent everything that I have, and I still have this condition. But for some reason, I am convicted and persuaded to believe that if I can just press, if I can use force, my corresponding action, my work, and get through this crowd, and everyone was trying to get to Jesus, if I could just get to him. And she made it. She didn't try to touch his head. She didn't reach for his hand. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I believe that I can be made whole. And she did just that. And because she used the force of her faith, faith moves God. Jesus was moved by her persistence. He was moved by her faith. She was moved by the fact that she didn't care what people were saying. And so many times, sons and daughters, we are so worried about what everyone else is saying that we lose sight on God. And we lose faith. And we lose hope. And we stop doing our work because we're so concerned about what everyone else is going to say. But he was just like overwhelmed with her persistence, not worried about what anyone was going to say, taking the risk of being just ridicule, taking the risk of just, people taunting her, throwing rocks at her, throwing their nose up at her because of her condition. That said, faith is a force because she was weak. Because anyone that in her condition that had been losing the level of blood that she had been losing for the period of time that she had been losing blood, there's no way this woman had tons of strength. But when her faith kicked in, it gave her a force that she could not have within herself. But faith put a force into her that allowed her, given her the power and the strength to press through, to make it to where she believed, she was convicted and persuaded to believe that her life was going to be changed. How many of us tonight are convicted and persuaded to believe that God has something for us? That our life, he's ready to change our life. He's just waiting for us to put our faith in action. And the good thing about faith, faith is always present tense. It's never past. It's never future. But faith is always present tense. Right now, faith. It's always present tense. That means it's always available to you to use and put into corresponding action so that you can get the results, we can get the results that God desires for us to have. And he's so strategic. God is so witty. He is so wise. The faith is always present tense, right when we need it. At this moment in time, that's what our faith is. So we want to remember that faith is always present tense. It's never past tense. And Sister Lewis, I hear this so much. And everyone wants to say, when is my season of faith going to begin? When am I going to receive the thing that God has for me? And I want to let you know tonight, your season begins when you release it.
When you release it. When you step
when
out.
When you release it.
Mm-hmm.
When you release it. I can't release it to you. Your pastor doesn't release it to you. The priest doesn't release it to you. The bishop doesn't release it to you. You release it to you. Your season begins when you release it. The kingdom. And Matthew, I believe it's 6:10. It says, the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
As in heaven.
And we sit back and we, because we're not using our corresponding action, we're just saying that we have faith. Confessing it with our mouth, but our heart is so far from it. Having the form of godliness and denying the power thereof. We're not putting our faith into action. And we'll sit around and we'll say, I'm going to wait to get to heaven to get my crown. I'm waiting to get to heaven to get my mansion. You're waiting to get to heaven to get all these great things. When the scripture clearly tells us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So everything that God has for you, for me, for us, for them, it's already been released in heaven. It is our job to be convicted and persuaded to believe that and put forth our corresponding actions to have those things that God has for us in the heavens to be released on earth. He didn't say bring your earthly things to heaven. He said release the heavenly things to earth. The Bible clearly tells us, above all things, I wish you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, your soul prospers. He said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all that dwells in it. From your labor, he wants you to celebrate after you have labored here on earth. We're so focused on living saved and living right to go to heaven. But how many people are living right to have heaven come to earth?
Good question.
It makes the people believe that you have to die to enjoy the benefits of God. Well, the Bible clearly tells us that my plan, I know the plans for you, and my plans are good to give you an expected ending. And when we start reading the Old Testament about Job and all the great men of God, they had tons of land, cattle, gold, multitude of children, tons of food and feast right here on earth. Job was a man of faith. David was a man of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. And because they had faith, they put forth their corresponding actions for those things that were due to them in the heavens were released to them on earth. They were able to enjoy the things here on earth the same way he wants us to do, but we just have to exercise our faith and use our faith properly. Job had tons of stuff, and they said, you should just curse your God and die. And he goes, no, I believe. Though you slay me, yet will I trust him. Because by the good Lord giveth and the good Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of God. Abraham's son, his only son, just to go, if you love me, sacrifice your son. And he was going to do that, and God had a ram in a bush for him because He was faithful to God. He always made provision and released the things in heaven. When we're faithful and we have faith and we walk in faith, we put our corresponding action. Job's corresponding action that he kept pushing. He used his faith as his force. Abraham, he went to go take his son. That was his corresponding action. He would leave God, so he was going to sacrifice his son. That's how much he believed in. But he didn't say, yeah, Father, okay, and then never did anything. He got his knife. He said, come on, Isaac, let's go. We got somewhere to go. They were walking up to sacrifice, and God had a ram in the bush for him. That's the part that we're missing, men and women of God. Faith is a wonderful thing. Faith has gotten you through so many things, just holding on to that faith and believing. But holding on to it and believing may have gotten me through some things, but it didn't get me anything. Because you can't get anything from faith unless you put the work with it. And that is not my word. The Bible clearly tells us that faith without works is dead. And we don't want our faith to be dead, but we want to be lively stone. We want to exercise our faith. We want to put our corresponding action with it. We want to understand that our faith is a force to tear down sickness, to tear down diseases, to eliminate 30-year mortgages, to save our children, to save our siblings, to bless us with great careers, not just jobs. To be our healer, to be our deliverer, our mind regulator, our heart fixer. Whatever we need God to be, faith is a driving force to those things. But we also have to put forth our corresponding action. And understand that faith is always a right now thing. You're not waiting on faith. You don't have to run back and get it. And you don't have to run in the future and try to find it. Faith is always present tense, right here with us now. We just have to embrace the faith, understand what our faith is. Understand when you're being convicted or persuaded to do something, and understand what your corresponding action should be. And your corresponding action, if it doesn't require you to move, then it's probably not your corresponding action. If you're doing nothing, it's very safe to believe that you're not acting on your faith. It's safe to believe that you're doing nothing, you're not acting on your faith. If God told you to get a home and you ain't started looking for a house or a mortgage broker, you're not acting on your faith. You're not acting on your faith. If God told you you were healed and you still go around telling everybody you're sick, you're not acting on your faith. If he told you you're healed, you'd be speaking that you're healed. Now, he'll tell you when to get off your medication. He will tell you, or your doctor will tell you. But when he told me I was healed, I stopped saying that I was sick. I'm not sad. I'm not tired. I'm not broke. I'm not disgusted. I'm not any of those things, because faith speaks what it believes. And I believe that I'm the hell and not the tail. I believe that I'm a millionaire. I believe that I'm a king in finances. I believe that I am a property owner. I believe I'm a wise investor. I believe that I'm a great wife. I'm a great mother, a great grandmother, a great great grandmother. I believe that I'm a motivator. I believe that I'm an inspirer. I believe that I go out on the highways and the hedges and I compel women that are lost to come to Christ. I believe those things. So therefore, I am convicted and persuaded to believe that God called me to do these things, these things that he has for me. I believe that everything I spoke are what's in the heaven that God wants to release to me. So therefore, my corresponding action is to get up and go do the things so I can pull those things down from heaven onto earth. And I can walk in these things, and they're not pipe dreams. Because God doesn't give pipe dreams. There are visions, and they've been written very plain. And they've been written on the table so that you can run with it and not faint. We just have to put in the work. I often wonder why so many people preach and teach the same message over and over again. They will say to you that, the Holy Spirit led me to preach this again. But I beg to differ. I do not believe that the Holy Spirit would have you preach on Peter walking the water 12 Sundays out of a year. I don't believe that. But it's very easy to preach Peter walking on the water because it's a story we're very familiar with. And most people who've been in church one or two times know the story of Peter walking on the water. So it's a very common scripture that is used. The prodigal son is a very common scripture that's used when people preach. Because you don't even have to be a preacher to preach on that. You can just read the scripture, prodigal son, and if you ain't never preached in your life, you can get up and preach 30 minutes on the prodigal son, whether God told you or not. But we're having so much routine church. And the men and women of God are living such routine life. Because everyone wants to have faith, but nobody wants to put in the work. Change up to reach this dying world, to seek the unusually gifted, to bring those in that are lost, those that don't go to church, that are afraid of church, or thought they were through with church, for you to be what you need to be, for you to be great property owners, business owners, for being able to retire and still pay your bills by missing a beat. In order for us to do that, we have to put in the work. Everything that you see great, somebody worked to get that. They didn't get there. Even the ones who got silver spoons in their mouth, somebody did some work. And not only did somebody do the work, someone is doing the work to keep their money in wealth. The Walton family is a wealthy family because somebody's working. So today, I just want to compel us all that we understand what faith is. Faith is a faith is a conviction of persuasion to believe that a statement is true. Faith looks like, we talked about the woman with the issue of blood. That's a good example of what faith should look like. That you're not worried about what anyone else is going to say, what they're saying, what they're doing. You're just going to obey God and you're going to put your faith into action. We learned tonight that believing is not faith. It says James 2:19 tells us that even the devils believe, but they don't have faith. But they believe. And we also learn that faith is not just believing. It's a part of it, but it's much more than that. Faith equals conviction and persuasion. And we have to have work. The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. And when you see the word work, that means your correspondent action. Now that you have faith, what do you do next? Do means is a verb. It means you're doing something. You're putting for an action. So now that you have faith, what is your corresponding action? Also, we want to note tonight that the Holy Spirit is a helper. It is not a doer. So if you're waiting on the Holy Spirit to do something for you, you'll be waiting for a very, very long time. The Holy Spirit is there to help you when you decide to do it, by going before you, walking with you, providing the grace, mercy, and favor that you need. But the Holy Spirit is a helper, and it's a keeper to those who are willing to be kept. But the Holy Spirit is not doing those things for you. You have to get up and do those things yourself because, again, the Holy Spirit is a spirit. So wouldn't it make sense for it to be a helper since the Holy Spirit can't physically pick something up and move it? That it's a helper through the Spirit to open the door and touch the heart of men and women so they will hire you or they'll give you the house or they'll sow into your building or they'll sow seed into your ministry. So we are the doer. The Holy Spirit is a helper. Also, we learned that faith is a force. Faith kicks doors open. Faith changes things because it's a force. Faith walks in the room and everything has to line up with the word of God. Faith is just that bad. Faith is a force. It's not some dormant nothing. It is a force. And when faith shows up, things have to change. And that's why we said a couple of weeks ago, when fear comes knocking at your door, please send faith to answer it. Because faith would check fear in a second and send fear right on its merry way. And men and women of God, we need to start sending faith to open up the door. Because fear is what keeps us from not putting forth our corresponding action. And the biggest fear we have is about not being accepted or what people are going to say. This is 2016, and it's time to get over people. Who cares what people say? It doesn't matter what they say. What will your father say when you stand before him and you have to live 40, 50, 60, 70 years and say, oh, yeah, God, I had a whole lot of faith. Let me plot your workbook. You said you got a lot of faith? Yeah. Been having faith since I was 5 years old when I accepted the Lord. I went down the aisle and I sat at the table and there's two chairs they put there and I accepted Christ, my Lord and Savior. Then the next Sunday they baptized me in the baptism pool. What a wonderful day that was. Then my mom and them took me to my granny house. We sit down. We ate a big dinner. We had fried chicken, greens, and cornbread, and macaroni and cheese. And God is just looking. Oh, really? Yeah. So you say you got faith? Yeah. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, that's great, man of God. That's great, woman of God. Let me pull your books of works out. All that faith is dead. It profits nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Because there was no work that went along with the, with the faith. I just don't know how you can have some cornbread dressing without cornbread. Y'all try that one and let me know.
Okay.
How that tastes. Let me know how that tastes. A cornbread dressing with no cornbread, or a chicken pot pie with no chicken, or faith without works. It's dead. I tell you now, if I cook dressing on Christmas or Thanksgiving, I didn't use cornbread. I don't know what else you could use, but if I didn't use cornbread, that one's dead in the water. Nobody would even touch it. So nothing has happened with the faith when it's just your conviction or persuasion to believe. There's a lot of conviction or persuasion to believe just floating in the atmosphere. And we're blaming God. Say we're waiting for God to do things, and we're getting mad with God, and people are walking away from the church, and we have decisions we need to make, and God has spoken to our heart and already told you what to do. He's told you to change jobs. He's told you to leave certain people alone. He's told you to eat better. He's told you how to eat. He's told you all those things. And we keep saying, waiting on God. And God said, I'm waiting on you to put forward your corresponding action.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's waiting on. So we don't want to sit dormant. We want to get up and move. We want to understand that faith is a force. We want to understand that faith is always present tense. Always present tense. It's never past, it's never future. It's always in the present, occupying space wherever you are in time, wherever you are. It's always there with you. We just have to exercise it. You have to exercise it. And your season will begin when you release your season. And today God is urging us to release our season, to walk in faith and walk into our corresponding action. And we thank God for the word on tonight, Sister Lucandra. That's all that I have to share on the topic of the anatomy of faith. And the vital principles of faith. And I pray that that was a blessing to someone today. It has been a blessing to me because I was one of those people saying faith, 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 faith. When I started comparing my faith, I put faith on one side and then I put my corresponding actions on the other side of the paper. First, I put the thing I had faith about.
Right.
And then I put the corresponding action on it. And on my sheet of paper, Sister Lewis, everything didn't add up.
Okay.
Everything that I said I had faith concerning, I didn't have a corresponding action by all of them.
Okay. Well, so
and the Holy Spirit said
Randall,
I need to lose that.
We do have a couple of ladies on the line that may want to ask questions, but I wanted to You brought it up at the almost at the end of your conversation about fear. I am a component of fear, and I have to be honest about being rejected or being looked at, just like you said, in the wrong light. When you know you're right, you know that you want to step out and do the things, do your corresponding action, okay? It scares you. And I have to say, especially when I first started walking with the Lord, I say, yeah, I got faith. I got faith of a mustard seed. I got crazy faith. I got this kind of faith and that kind of faith. But when I was a little timid, which some things I still am a little timid about stepping out on. And I wanted to tell our listening audience that, as you said, it's something that we have to let go of. We have to send the Holy Spirit to the door when fear knocks on it. So can you just kind of expound a little bit more on the fear aspect of the corresponding action?
Yes, fear is a natural reaction. Fear is very natural, and fear is one of those things that people, I mean, men, women, and everyone, they don't really like to talk about, but fear is a very real thing. But one thing about fear is it's a false sense of reality. It may be factual, but it's not God's truth. Fear would have you running from something that's not even chasing you. That's what fear does. And all fear comes from Satan. Because God does not bring fear. And the Bible clearly tells us that all fear is of the devil. So the devil brings fear because he knows that. What does fear do? So if you're scared, what do people normally do when they're scared? They normally freeze.
Yeah.
You get so scared when people get scared that they don't do nothing. But when we get ready to go into the Word of God, the Bible tells us to fear not. He said, because I'm with you. Be not dismayed, because I am thy God. Look at Isaiah 41 and 10. He said, I'll uphold you and I'll be with you. And so we have to be convicted and persuaded to believe that we don't have to fear because God is with us and he's our God and he's upholding us. And the second thing that goes along with that is that God is for us, he's more than a whole world against us. And we're always going to have opposition. We're always going to have haters. But we have to make a decision. Who do we love more? What's more important, our opposition or fulfilling our God-given purpose? I will not die unhappy. I have made a conscious decision, and I am convicted and persuaded to believe that I will not die unhappy. I will not allow myself to die unhappy. So what do I do when fear comes? I rebuke the spirit of fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he does give us power, love, and a sound mind. Fear, all that stuff is in our mind. But and so we all have that, though. And so I say when fear starts knocking, I always send faith to the door to answer. When fear comes knocking on my door, tell me all the stuff. Now, you know, this time of year, we go get our annual exams, and the men go get them, women go get them. And it seems like every time it's the time, you feel a lump, or you think you feel a lump, or something's going on. So fear comes knocking at the door and say, oh, and I send faith right to the door. Oh, no. He was wounded for my transgression. No, I don't have none of that. Everything is going to be fine when I walk into the doctor's office. They're drawing blood. They said, what are you saying, Mr. Randall? What are you saying, Mr. Randall? Oh, I'm speaking to this blood, this cholesterol, everything else going to line up with the Word of God. I'm convicted and persuaded to believe those things. And so what is my corresponding action? No, I'm not sitting there eating tater chips before I go get my blood drawn or get my blood pressure taken. I'm not.
Yep, that's it. Yep.
And that's my course. But to answer your question, we have to send faith to answer the fear. But fear is very common, because everyone wants to be accepted. But we're late in the season. We can't really worry about people, because the people who are really for you, they ain't sweating you like they're hating on you anyway. That's how you know who's for you and who not.
Yep.
If they're not for you, if they're not for you, do you really even care? And the answer should be no, because they're hindering. Yep. What did Jesus say to Peter? He rebuked him. He said, Peter, go somewhere, because I'm trying to do this, and you're trying to do something totally different. And we ain't on one accord right now. So move, because you are hindering to me, Peter. Jesus rebuked Peter and told him that.
Yeah, that is so true. But I just wanted to get that out to our listening audience who was thinking on those same lines of fear is keeping them from stepping out and doing the corresponding action, you know, because that is kind of a big part of it for some of us that, you know, say we have faith, but we can't do the action. You understand what I'm trying to say?
I sure do. I know exactly what you're trying to say.
Okay, well, I just wanted to make that clear to them, because I've had that problem before. So I'm getting stronger in it, and I've learned how to rebuke the fear in my life and to just go ahead and step out and do the things that God tells me to do when the Holy Spirit leads me to do, because I've got to do it. Nobody else can do it for me. It's got to be me that does what God has instructed me to do. So that's the way I think about it, and I rebuke it now, and I'm doing better, much, much better with that.
Amen.
And I wanted to ask if we had, we have a couple of callers on the line, if you have any questions of Minister Randall, or would you like to make any comments, or do you have any opinions, or give a testimony about your faith, or whatever you feel led of the Spirit to say tonight. Go ahead and share with us, callers.
I would just like to say that I really thoroughly enjoyed her comments. She hit so many things that I've been thinking and feeling right on the head in terms of having fear and not being courageous enough to just to do the corresponding things like she was talking about. And I just think a lot of us probably feel the same way. So I really enjoyed the discussion, and I think it is really going to help me in my life. I really do. So I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your comment and your encouraging words, because I feel the same way. And I have my other sister on the line. I know you just want to say something. You just got to say something for us tonight. Don't make me call your name. No, don't make me do it. Come on. I know you got something to say. Miss 6335. You know I'm pretty good. Okay. You want me to call you out? That's my dear friend. That's my road dog. I ain't gonna do it like that tonight. That's my ride or die. That's my ride or die.
Good evening. How you guys
sit
doing?
There. Huh?
How you doing? How are you doing?
How's it going? I'm good.
How are you
Come
doing,
on,
Miss Orlando? I'm blessed to hear you tonight. God bless you. I came in a little bit after it started. I was trying to cook. You know, it takes forever for me. But I was just listening because I agree with faith without works is truly dead. I mean, you can, like she said, you can sit and believe and have faith for something all day long, but God is waiting for us to give him something to bless. It's no point of trying to stay on the promises of God and you're not doing, you know, you're just sitting on the premises, you know. You need to do something for God to bless. It's no way that you're going to be able to reach those things in Jesus' name that you want to reach without doing something. So my thing more so is trying to listen and be very aware of where he's leading, and not wanting to go down the wrong road and keep starting over, you know, going on my own without taking it to Christ and saying, is this the way I should go? Is this what I should be doing at this time in this season of my life? Or, you know, where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to go? What actions am I supposed to take? Is more of where I am. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to work. I have faith that whatever God has for me to do, I'm going to do it. It's being sure that this that I am doing is of God. And so that's where my stagnation comes in, is I want to be sure of what I'm doing is of God. Not necessarily, I have the faith that, if this is what he wants me to do, definitely he's going to bless us, because he is the source and he can use any resource that he wants to get what he wants done. I just want to line up with his will for me.
Amen.
What the sister was sharing, it actually goes back to this, and we don't realize it. When we're waiting, whenever you've lived and you've had life experiences, we say that we're being careful. I said that too, because I've made a lot of mistakes. And I'm at the age in my life where I don't want to make any more mistakes. I don't. But I realized me not wanting to make any more mistakes was making me move slower than God wanted me to move, because really, in reality, my carefulness was actually fear.
And that's how I feel.
Not fear.
I feel like
not
I'm being made evil.
Go ahead.
I feel like I'm being too careful, you know, or overthinking something. You know what I'm saying? Where it caused the stagnation. You just double thinking everything. And so I'm thinking that, well, I'm moving too slow. At the same time, I'm at the point, like you, I've made a lot of mistakes. I don't want to make any more mistakes. I want to do it right, but you know, I'm not God. I'm gonna make some mistakes. I'm not perfect.
And it's just I don't know, for me, I want it right. I want to do it right.
What I've been training myself to do is to not live a conscious life, because our conscience will have us vacillating back and forth. That's what tradition, religion, and life experiences do to us. It gives us a conscience. So our conscience vacillates back and forth. That's normal for your conscience to do that. So I have been practicing to live a spiritually, not a naturally impulsive life, but a spiritual impulsive life. So when I'm coming out of prayer and meditation and God speaks to me, I move quickly. I'm going to tell you why I move quickly, because I just came out of the spirit. So I know it wasn't me. When you're going before God and you're spending that time with God, you're not in yourself. You're not in flesh. You're in spirit. So when God is speaking, the Holy Spirit is speaking, so you know that it's the Holy Spirit. If we wait too long after we come out of the Holy Spirit and we get back in ourselves, our flesh, our conscience starts to talk us out of things. And so I am training myself to live a spiritual, impulsive life, and I act quickly when I know that it's a spirit. If I'm not certain, then I continue to pray more about it. And we all need to have spiritual covering so that we have a man or woman of God, whoever your leader may be, that serves in that capacity, that you're able to do it too for spiritual covering. Because I'm a firm believer that when you have proper spiritual covering and you're going acting when you come out of the spirit, or you're praying before you act when you wasn't in the spirit, that God doesn't lead us wrong. And that's been my reality, my truth for this season, is because I act quickly. Because if God tells me tonight, pick up the phone and call LaChandra and speak this word to her life, if I let myself get in the way, I'm going to be like, God, is that you? Oh, God? Mm-hmm. If I let myself. But if I act as soon as I come out of prayer in the spirit and go ahead and send that text and make that phone call, you know it was God, because you wasn't in yourself. You was in the spirit. But if I let myself get in there, the flesh and that conscience, because we all have a conscience, and that conscience is built based upon our lifestyle, how we were raised, what we believe by tradition or religion, and so it builds this conscience. So, and the thing about the conscience is, okay, so depending on how you're raised, some women may walk out the house in a pair of Daisy Dukes, and it means absolutely nothing to them. Then you got another woman who may walk out of the house in a pair of Daisy Dukes, and she's pulled on the whole time, because her conscience is bothering her. Her conscience is formed by how she's been raised, religious, traditional, whatever environment she came in. But if you go to, like, Florida or California, any state that has beaches, short shorts are very common. Men don't even look, but they think of it as short shorts. They see it all the time. So whatever our conscience is, those are the things that stop us a lot of times from moving forward. So we have to deprogram ourselves out of that conscious stuff, because the conscious and spirit are not one and the same. We want to operate in the spirit. Spirit does not dwell within always, but as much as possible, we want to walk in the spirit. If we're not sure, that's when we go back in prayer, and that's when we go to our covering, spiritual covering. At the latter house, and Dr. Carter is who we go to. We talk to him about things like that. He prays, and God gives him confirmation. So whoever that person is for you in your life, then it's always good to have that spiritual covering, to know that you're covered. So when you're going out, that you're authorized to do what you're feeling God has led you to do. And you won't go wrong when God is authorized. He won't let you go wrong because you're his daughter and he loves you.
I appreciate that because
yeah,
I really didn't.
That's wonderful.
Because I do that often, that back and forth thing. Is that me? Is that me wanting to pursue that, or is that God? And that makes a lot of sense. And it speaks truth to if you're coming out of prayer and God and you're receiving it, you are in the spirit. You're not in self. You're in spirit. And those who worship God has to worship him in spirit and truth. And I never thought about a covering for someone to cover me as I pray, to, you know, and intercede for me. So thank you so much.
And
yes, I'd like to step up for a job, but thank you.
I love you.
Okay. Mr. Randall, would you go ahead and tell us a little about the latter house for our last 90 seconds, and then go ahead and pray us out, because we have a minute and 15 seconds to go.
I will quickly. Latter house is a partnership and also a ministry that was started in Los Angeles, California. The founding overseer for this organization is none other than Dr. Sheldon Carter. The headquarters is in L.A., but we also have a division that we're building here in Dallas. Right now, we have about 7 partners, and our goal is by the end of the year to have 100 partners in the Dallas area. And we're looking to make a home site here.
This ministry is for the unusually gifted. God has given this man a vision to restore virtue to the wounded, the abandoned, the one that don't necessarily fit in anywhere else, to restore virtue to a society that's barren of spiritual and moral excellence. So if you're interested in being a partner with the Lighthouse, if you know someone else is, we would love to have you with our Dallas organization, our Dallas chapter. We meet once a month. And if you want information on how you can partner with us, you can send your email inquiry to thelhnetwork@gmail.com. And a member from our administrative team can get back to you with a package and tell you all about the network. The ministry, we have a lot of great things going on, and we could definitely use the help because God has given this man of God a great vision, and we need more people to push his vision because that's how great it is. So we would love to have you partner with us. So, again, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank God for Sister Beverly. We thank God for Granny's Place. Thank God for Sister Lewis and all those connected tonight. And, Father, we thank you for the word you've given us according to faith. And, Father, we will walk in faith. We will be convicted and persuaded to believe the things that you say about us, Father, and not what anyone else says. Father, tonight we discount every word that has came from Satan, and we throw it back to the pits of hell from which it came, and we stand on your word. We walk in faith with your word. In our corresponding action, God, we would speak and do the things that you called us to do. We understand that believing is not faith. We understand that faith is not just believing, God, and we are convicted and persuaded, and we will put forward our corresponding action to do these things. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be our helper. We understand that it's not our doer, but it is here to help us, God, and we appreciate your help, Father. And, Father, tonight as we leave this call, we take our faith and we use it as a force in our life. We take our faith, we use it as a force in our life, God, to move those things to position, God, so that we can be what you called us to be. We can go where you called us to go. We can do what you called us to do, Father. And, Father, we thank you for giving us right now faith, God, because we know that faith is always present tense. And so we right now, we walk in your presence in faith, and we use the power and the authority and the force you give us in faith. And that today we declare that we begin to release the seasons in our life, God, that everything that you have in your kingdom for us, that tonight we pray that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth that it is in heaven. So for everyone that's lying tonight, everyone that's connected to this line tonight, Father, we declare and we command that all the things that you have must be released today, Father. And we will be good stewards over them, God. We would not waste, God. We would not hide it, God. We would not go into our little corner, God. But we would continue to move forward in your kingdom building to help build this kingdom, Father, that you've ordained for us to do in these last evil days. Father, we ask you to bless every leader. Every leader that's connected to everyone that's on this call, bless our homes, our children, God, our jobs, God. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless amen. Each of you. Thank you, my callers and my listeners tonight. God bless each of you. Hope you have a rest of a good evening and be blessed the rest of the week. Love you all. Good night.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Changing a song can change your whole day, but change has never been this powerful. At Nissan's Year of the Truck and SUV event, we're rolling out our capable new lineup and big savings. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com. Offers end soon.